I've been on praise teams, you know, and all my life played the guitar and sang for people, and, you know, sang along with people, actually, just praise. One time somebody was asking, you know, well, do you sing in the spirit? Do you play in the spirit? Or do you sing in the flesh? Do you sing in the, play in the flesh? And I knew what they were talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, because when you start, you know, when you're playing, you can concentrate so much on what note you're going to hit right next, and where you're going with your hand, or what note you're going to sing next, and what's the words. Mm-hmm. You concentrate on that so much, you're not thinking about God. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're just doing it in the flesh, you know, because you're not communing with the Spirit. But if you get communion with the Spirit, you get so caught up in the Spirit, you kind of forget about what you're playing, mm-hmm. forget about what you're singing. And you're just caught up in the Spirit. You start singing what He wants you to sing. Mm-hmm. You start playing what He's leading you to play. It's really cool. It's really neat because, you know, you can feel the Spirit move in that. And so, I got thinking about it, though. I had one guy talking about it one time. He said, well, when you come to worship, are you singing in spirit? Are you playing in spirit? Or are you doing it in the flesh? He says, most of the time, you start out in the flesh. You start out in the flesh. And then you move into the spirit. You know, when you come, when you begin to sing, when you begin to play, when you begin to hear the music, your mind is on a bunch of different things, you know. But as you begin to focus on God, as you begin to focus on Him, and drive out all the other stuff out of your mind, then what? Get all that argon and neon out of the tire. Mm-hmm. Then you just got nitrogen. Then you just got the spirit in it. Mm-hmm. So you get all the other thoughts out of your mind. Hi, good to see you today.
Thank you.
So I just thought we'd do a simple little song. We may not get out of the flesh today with just one song, but that's okay. But it's kind of like what you were saying. You just praise Him anyway.
Amen.
You just praise Him by faith.
Yeah.
You know, you just praise Him by faith. You're not trying to, you know.
Because He's worthy, whether you feel Him or not.
When you feel Him or not. Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. And you keep serving Him until you do feel Him, right?
Yeah.
All right.
I worship You.
I just want y'all to stand. This is time to get peace. I mean,
I worship You, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do, and I give You praise. Lord, You are my righteousness. I worship You, Almighty.
Oh, Lord, arrivi, 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 ar
Father, we come into your presence by faith. Yes. We come into your presence by faith.
Jesus.
We trust you.
Yes.
We trust you.
Yes,
Lord. We love you.
Yes.
And we show we love you by keeping your commandments.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
And you manifest yourself to us.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, we keep your commandments. And it is by keeping your commandments that we show that we love you. Mm-hmm. And Father, you and Jesus come and eat with us.
Yes.
Sit
yes,
down Lord. In our homes. And yes, you eat with us.
Yes,
Lord. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for those words.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. We glorify your name, for it is by your name the nations are saved.
Amen.
We are saved. You show your power.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
We lift up our government leaders that you are working in them.
Yes, Lord.
For them to have great wisdom that you will work in them, Father, to make good decisions.
Yes,
that will bless your people.
Amen.
Bless all the people in the United States.
Yes.
And around the world, Father.
Yes.
Thank you. Amen. Amen.
Oh Lord, you will find faithfulness. Hallelujah, you will find faithfulness. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, your wisdom is going forth. Hallelujah, from the youngest to the oldest, from generation to generation. We don't believe a lie about our young people and what we see on TV.
Amen.
This will be the strongest generation in the history of the United States and the world. Your word will go forth with power and it will not return void. You will come for a church without spot and wrinkle. You will come for a church that's full of your love and grace and mercy. And the faith of God will be seen. The end time will come, Lord God, and your trump will sound and your church will go triumphantly. Triumphantly in your power and your name. Because you're not a weak God. You're a strong God. You're stronger than anything we can imagine or think, Lord God. And the earth will see it. The heathen will see it, Lord God, and will turn to you. Their eyes will be opened to the truth of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. There will be a great end time harvest. The power of the Spirit will be manifested in signs and wonders. The gifts of the Spirit will be in total operation. You will show your mighty power, Lord God, because we will be still and know that God, and you will be magnified with the heathen in everything, Lord God, because you are God and you only are God, and the devil will be put under your feet by the church at the end time in Jesus'
Amen.
Name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. And that's already put under your feet, God, isn't it? Yes, the devil's under your feet right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It'll just be manifested in the strength and power of Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, you're going to be set free, hallelujah, on this earth. That faith that we have, Lord God, will multiply beyond what we can ask or think. Every believer will have it, Lord God. You are going to be strong in this earth, hallelujah. And everything will be from you. Your word will be completed from top to bottom, from generation to revelation. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The absolute truth will be known. Hallelujah.
All God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. We're far above them. They're under our feet. Hallelujah.
They're institutions that we have that we hold dear in Christianity, even if we're not Catholic. We hold some institutions dear.
Yeah.
We hold baptism dear, don't we?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We hold communion dear.
Yes, most definitely.
But Jesus said, as often as you do this, do this in remembrance of me until what? Until I come.
Amen.
Until I come. When he comes, will we still be taking communion? We'll be with him.
Yeah.
We'll be in need to do that, right?
Right. We'll eat with him.
We have baptism, don't we?
Yes.
That's another treasured institution we have.
Yeah.
So when Jesus comes, will we still be baptized? When we're in the new heaven and new earth, will we still be baptized? We'll all be baptized, won't we?
Yeah.
Amen.
There won't be anybody there not baptized.
Yeah.
Right. But there's a third institution that we hold dear. I want to talk to you just a few minutes about that today. That third institution is marriage.
Mm-hmm. And we won't have marriage.
That's right. That's right. That's another institution that will pass away. All right? Mm-hmm. Because when we get to the new heaven and the new earth, what did Jesus say about us?
They'll neither marry or given in marriage.
Yeah. It'll be like the angels.
The angels.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We won't be doing that, right?
But it's going to be better.
That's right. That's right. So, I want to talk to you a little bit about marriage today. Some friends of mine have a daughter, and she's getting married. We went to see them yesterday and all that. And I've actually been talking to my children lately about marriage. And what I'd like to do is kind of have a discussion, if we can, in a few minutes, about the primary purpose of marriage. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's a lot of purposes of marriage, aren't there?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right, so just think a minute. Just think a minute. And just think, what is the primary purpose of marriage? Mm-hmm. Okay? Just think just a minute and think about what is the primary purpose of marriage?
Completion of a man and a woman together.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Even the book Ephesians tell us.
There's no right answer or wrong answer.
No, well, it's a lot of ways we can go with it.
Yeah.
And the book of Ephesians tells us
to keep the purity of the children.
Okay.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. Oh, that's good.
First thing, he says one flesh. So.
Yeah. And again, all these purposes will one day disappear,
yeah,
right?
Because we'll be completed.
So, yeah. Anybody else? Just,
The book Ephesians tells us a clear purpose.
Okay.
There's two coming together to give profit.
Coming together what now?
To give profit.
To give profit, okay.
They'll either, they're together and their life will produce.
Agreement in prayer.
Yeah, it will produce, they're profitable to God.
Yeah.
Okay.
They have children.
One can put 1,000, 2 can put
10,000. Yeah.
Okay, I wanted to read to y'all the purpose, one of the purpose that he said in Ephesians 5. It's, okay, one of the purposes of the church is marriage, Christ in the church. Husband, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself that he might sanctify it and cleanse it. He may present it. One of the purposes of marriage is to show what Christ in the church is like.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. Mm. For the reason of marriage, shall leave father and mother and joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Mm-hmm. But I speak concerning Christ in the church.
Yes, there it is.
It gives you an example of Christ and the church.
Amen.
Mm. Marriage. I didn't want to read it all to you, but that's the look of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. It says it gives you a visual view of Christ in the church, the way Christ is to the church. We don't have the time to read it. But go ahead on with your teaching.
Yeah, that's a good point Mary brought up. That's a good point. Now, is that why kids get married today?
No.
A lot
of it has to do with the flesh.
Does our marriages today really a good example of Christ in the church.
But there are some.
Some of them.
Yeah, a few. You know, because this is, you know, this is something that I was dealing with.
I think it marriages from your health, too, because when you get out of sin and do things, you can catch stuff. And
from
yeah.
Lord,
yeah.
Get
mad. Yeah, so it's for your own health.
For your own health.
Mentally, physically.
Fair did live longer, right? Than yeah. Single guys. Well, you know, I was writing this. I wrote this thing up for the couple, you know, to give them something to take with them, you know. Yeah.
Miss Ann had a finger.
Oh, yeah.
I had my other job is I'm a professional photographer, and I had to take pictures at this wedding.
Yeah.
And I asked the girl, I said, well, who's singing the Lord's Prayer? She said, oh, no, we're not doing that. And she proceeded to play, you know, the worldly music. And I'm like, wait a minute. You going to do this, and then you going to get a preacher to ask you to join me together, you know, ask God to be in the midst to join you together, and you don't even want to play the Lord's Prayer at the wedding? It's like I say, it's just a convenience for them. They're looking at putting the salaries together.
I mean, or when they get over there, they keep their own Social Security so you don't go together. You know, that it all boils down as far as one of the things, and God's been dealing with me about trust. Do we really trust God in everything, every area of our life? Trust Him, because He takes care of everything, everything.
They trust you that a woman
can
move, not
move
yourself.
Right, that's good.
Right.
That's probably one of the hardest things for a woman to do.
We're ready. We're going to let you get back into
okay. Your well, I'm going to kind of wrap this up a little bit real quick. And, you know, I told him, I said, you know, I don't think the primary purpose of marriage is procreation.
Yes, that's
probably. Although that's certainly one of God's purposes, mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Spread out over all the earth, fill it, and subdue it. I don't think it's something to have someone meet my needs. I'm going to marry someone because this person can meet my needs. That's not the purpose of marriage. I don't think it's to have someone to complete me. Well, that happens, but it's not primary.
You're completing Christ, and most people don't realize they're looking for some person to complete them.
Yeah.
And when that person can't complete them, they want a divorce.
Yeah. And I didn't think it was to have someone who really knows me. You know, I mean, if you achieve that would be a bonus few people enjoy, really.
I don't know myself.
Considering the communication problems between men and women, I mean, you know, I'm telling you. I think I go with Mary over here. The primary purpose is to give mankind an example of what the relationship between God and man should be like.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What should that relationship be like? All right. Ideally, it should be a good example, right? In the Old Testament, it was what? God and Israel.
Mm-hmm.
God and Israel. He kept talking to, you know, through his prophets. He said, look, you're like my bride, but you have turned away from me. You adulterous generation. Remember him talking about that in Isaiah, especially in Hosea, right? He likened Israel to his bride.
Mm-hmm.
And when you run after an idol bride, it's adultery.
Mm-hmm.
Because instead of having me for your husband, you take this idol for a husband.
Mm-hmm.
In the New Testament, of course, he's talking about what? Jesus and the church.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Jesus and the church. We are the bride of Christ.
Yeah.
He is the bridegroom. In the Old Testament, God would woo. He would woo Israel. And we see an example of that in Song of Solomon,
mm-hmm.
right? God trying to woo Israel like a bridegroom does a bride.
Mm-hmm.
In the New Testament, we've got the second coming. What's it compared to? A bridegroom coming for his bride on the wedding night. Take her away,
mm-hmm.
right? We've got that imagery in our minds, you know? Mm-hmm. So we find in the Bible the roles of husband and wife likened to the roles of God and mankind. The husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. He is to give himself for her. He is to be her rescuer. Sarah is praised because she called Abraham Lord.
Yeah.
Right? So what's how she's supposed to look toward her husband? The way the church is supposed to look to Christ.
Yeah.
And we call him Lord. Right?
Yeah.
The wife is to reverence the husband and submit herself to him. Mm-hmm. He will look out for her safety and she will accept his efforts and advice to keep her safe with reverence. Mm-hmm. He tells her what to do and what not to do is to keep her safe.
Amen.
And she accepts that with reverence. She accepts those limitations of what she can do because of that. Right? So, that, I feel like, along with Mary, it is the primary purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So we look to Jesus, all right?
Yeah.
We look to Jesus and we say, make our marriages, all right? Make them a good example.
Yeah.
Now, when you mentor someone, you're discipling someone, keep this in mind, okay? They may not know. They may not know and what the real purpose of marriage is. But this is an opportunity to teach.
Yeah.
Okay, this is an opportunity to train them and say, look, this is what you need to be looking for in a marriage. Mm-hmm. Not an opportunity to get your needs met, but the opportunity to get someone else's needs met.
Yeah.
Right? And do it in a biblical way.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
So remember that. Keep that in mind when you're talking to someone. Hey, remember what marriage is all about. Go into it with a biblical mindset.
Yeah.
It's cool, right?
A lot of times, they ask God, in the ceremony, you're asking God to bless this marriage, and then God gave them all kind of reasons why they shouldn't even be doing it. but they do it anyway. And it's like some people pay like $10,000 for a wedding, and the next 6 months,
they're into the wedding.
They broke up.
Honeymoon's over.
But God had already given them signs, and that's why.
That's so true.
That's why they need to submit to God first.
Yeah.
They need to be Christians first, and if you're Christians first, then you can hear the voice of God. But if you're not a Christian, you're not gonna hear the voice of God saying, "No, this is not the person for you. No, you don't need to do this." And that's why we have so many divorces, because
people don't
listen to God.
And also, as your children are being raised, you need to raise them in a covenant-minded process to where they understand what covenants are.
Yeah.
When you make an agreement with somebody, this is covenant. Mm-hmm. And this is actually, marriage is a blood covenant.
It is.
You keep your commitments.
So we got children raising children.
It is.
Boy, yeah, come on now.
It is very important that we get people. Of course, it's too late for all of us.
Well, no, it's not.
No, wait. I'm saying, if we can let God work out some of the kinks in our lives before we get married, it's a whole lot smoother. You know?
Let's have a guest back.
Those kinks are kind of ooh.
That's why my eyes are streaked up a little.
Yeah. So anyway, but we bless the Lord, and we want to do His will, and we want to teach others how they can do His will.
Yeah.
And if they can reach a certain maturity in the Lord and get some of these things straightened out before they get married.
Amen.
Their marriage will go a lot sweeter.
That's right.
That's the reason why my marriage
will. Everybody will be a lot happier, including them, you know. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you just make the commitment, I am going to stay with you no matter what.
Yeah. Well, you know, how that
most
works.
Most people, I'm going to stay with you as long as
how that works, what that really means, Mary, is when you say this, as people used to do this in the past, you know, when you say that, I'm going to be in this marriage no matter what. So, if this marriage is so bad, I can hardly stand it, instead of leaving, I'm going to have to say, I better get to work.
Yes.
Because this marriage is not going to get better unless I get to work.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I work to change it and to make it better.
Mm-hmm. Most of the time, it's about changing yourself.
There is the difference. Yeah. There is the difference. If we say, I don't like the way this marriage is working, mm-hmm. and then we say, well, I'm going to get busy and I'm going to... do as much as I can to make it better.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't have any other out. Mm-hmm. I can't live like this. Well, if you can't live like this, work to make it better, right?
Yeah.
Instead of saying, I can't live like this, I'm leaving. You know, work to make it better, because I have to stand by my commitment.
Yeah.
I have to stand by my commitment.
Covenant breaker. Mm-hmm.
Brother Thurston has shared so many times, mm-hmm. he's made a commitment to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then the Lord tells him to do something he don't want to do. and he says, but I got to stand by my commitment.
Yeah.
Amen.
I got to do this because I've made a commitment.
Yeah.
And he's been blessed because of it.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Father, thank you so much. We ask you to bless this food. May it nourish and strengthen our bodies. And may all things that we think, do, and say bring glory and honor to your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.